three turns on prayer. I typed the same word, prayer, into Google, and it brought 919 million returns on prayer, 121 million videos, and 48 news articles on prayer. Of course, I did not go through all of them. Of course, they're not all even from a Christian perspective, but it shows me something that I think mankind is wired to pray. It's something that if you even look at other cultures, other religions, other places, there's something in us that desires to go, hey, there's got to be more to life than there is. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says he has planted eternity in the human heart. So mankind is eternal. All of mankind. There's eternity planted in the heart of mankind. And so there's this longing and desire to find someone beyond ourselves. Just think through that for a moment. We've been wired to look for God, to seek him out, and to talk with him. That's how he created mankind in general. Sin skews it. The fall, as in Adam and Eve and sin, it skews it. It's corrupted. Jesus restores that, but mankind is wired to pray right across all of humanity. Because eternity. I've talked to people who feel inadequate or they struggle with it. They struggle with confidence, especially praying publicly. I've even met people who are so insecure about praying that they can't even pray for a meal in public. And I remember, and you may not find this funny, but growing up, my dad would ask the blessing at the meal. And he would kind of stutter through it. And often he would do a fabulous job of just being simple, but my brother and I would laugh at him every time. Don't know why. I would look at my brother, he would look at me, and we would just burst into laughter. I don't know why, we were kids, and my dad would get upset. And it was always an interesting thing because it reminds me of the Homer Simpsons kind of family. And my dad would get upset and pound his fist on the table as he's been asking the blessing for the meal, and we would be laughing. But the hard part is that my dad struggled with some insecurity, and us as his boys sure didn't help that when we would laugh at him. And I asked his forgiveness later on in life. But it's something that if you were to talk or even think about praying out loud yourself, it's something that you might feel inadequate about. There was a recent survey from a large church. It asked for a word or words that best describe how the congregation felt about prayer, their own prayer life, prayer in general. And most of the responses were words like frustrated, I feel inept, awkward, unsatisfied, confused, I don't understand prayer, I don't understand how it works, it's a mystery, I want to be better at it, I need help. Maybe some of you can identify with that. Maybe some of you don't identify with that, and that's okay. But it's something, I'll say, here's the thing, if you feel inadequate about your prayers, God doesn't feel inadequate about your prayers. God doesn't heap condemnation on you about your prayers, and he doesn't want you to compare yourself or the prayers that you pray to the other person sitting beside you, because he desires to know you individually, intimately. Your prayers aren't second class. Even if you hold those feelings, your prayers aren't second class. You're valuable because God has given you value. He knows us. He desires to know us more. He desires to talk with us more. He longs to know us and be with us. Not because of guilt, not drawn because of guilt, but because of his grace. He desires to know you, desires to know me. And sometimes I think that if we get in this struggle of how we look at communicating with God, that it can stop us because we feel insecure and inadequate. We can actually learn to pray. If you remember when I looked at the Lord's Prayer, even the disciples had to learn to pray. Even men who had been raised in the synagogue, raised in Jewish fashion, who understood how to pray, still needed to learn how to pray. They had seen Jesus do all of his miraculous things while he was on earth. Heal the sick, raise the dead, provide food beyond understanding, calm storms, walk on water. They had seen all of those things, and yet they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to do miracles. They actually said, Lord, teach us how to pray. It's an interesting thing. They also saw him teach and preach and bring authority, and they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to teach or preach. They said, teach us how to pray. So even those men who were with Jesus, they still needed to learn how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Jesus constantly prayed. He was with his Father morning, noon, and night. He was with his Father praying in secret and in public and in different formats and different ways. And so he is our model. He is our example. Are you with me? Sometimes I think that our frustrations come because we have some misconceptions about prayer. And so it's the idea that prayer is not a magic wand, where sometimes we can get into the habit of thinking God is a genie in a bottle, and we rub the bottle, and out comes God saying, here I am to grant your request. But that's not how prayer is. We don't have to have some secret words or incantation or chant or some type of special thing in order for the Lord to hear us, because he longs to hear us and talk with us and have us listen to him. Prayer is not a magic wand. He's not your genie. He's not your servant. We're his servants. But he desires to know us. And as we'll get into it, Jesus calls us his friends. So that's one misconception. The other misconception is prayer is not a fire extinguisher. So often, when things go rough, we pray. When we're in pain, we pray. When there's some tragedy, we pray. But sometimes we struggle to pray as the first line. Often prayer, just it's generalized, but often prayer can be treated as the last resort. When it's not a fire extinguisher, it's meant to be something that isn't just a duty. Does that make sense? And so sometimes our misconception, lamp and you didn't come out. And so we're frustrated, but that's not what prayer is. And prayer is about communication. It's not a tug of war either. It's not us badgering the Lord and constantly coming before him like we're some beggar pleading with him to do something. And he goes, fine, okay, fine, I'll do it. That's not how he works. He actually longs and desires to talk with us. He loves us. He wants to talk with you. You don't have to beg him. So prayer is not a tug of war. Prayer is also not a ritual to relieve guilt. It's not something that we do as penance, where we have to pray, or we ought to pray, or we must pray. Prayer is something that actually is meant to be a privilege and a joy and not a duty, because it's out of relationship. It's a conversation with our Father. Conversation. It's really an amazing thing, if you think about that for a moment. So this morning, I want to look at four pillars of prayer. They're little reminders of the simplicity of prayer. They may be things you practice. They may be things that you already think of. And this is an encouragement to keep going. But if it's something that you haven't heard before or picked up, I encourage you to listen intently. They're simple. Simple things. First of all, God loves for you to talk with him. I'll say that again. God loves for you to talk with him. He loves for you to talk with him about anything. He desires you to come like as if you're having a good day or a bad day or a difficult circumstance and just come and share and talk with him. He desires you to talk with him about anything. In the same way that he talked with Adam and Eve before the fall in the garden when he would walk and talk with them, in the same way that Jesus spent intimate time with the Father, that's what he desires. He longs for us to talk with him. So when was the last time that you just kind of came to the Lord at any moment of the day and said, I adore you? Not just on a Sunday morning. I adore you. I worship you. Thank you that you have set me free. It's the aspect of worship. But as we come to him, that it doesn't have to be perfect. One of the most intimate times that I still remember vividly is it was shortly after I became a Christian. And I used to work at a gas station in Creston. I'd work 10 to 6 full-time, Monday to Friday. And there was always stuff going on at the church at that time frame. Prayer meetings, worship practice, different things going on. And often I get off work, I go straight to the church. And there's times when in the prayer meeting and other times before I even got in the door, the presence of the Lord was there. There was no real big special thing. It was just something that occurred. But I would pray, and as I would pray, my mind would wander, and I would pray about weird things, and I would think about my shoelaces being untied, and then I'd be like, oh, I guess I should be praying. And the Lord reminded me that I was spending time with him as my Father. That I was able to come to him, and they weren't silly things. And it wasn't about growing up and coming with all the right words to say. That I was able to actually come to him because he longed to be with me. It changed things, and it's something I remember as I get older, that it can be easy to lose that. 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says, we can be confident approaching God, knowing that he listens to us whenever we ask him for anything according to his will. And since we know that he hears us when we make our requests, then we can be sure that he will answer us. Now, there are many different things that we can focus on here, but twice it says he listens to us and we know that he hears us. It's obviously because of Jesus that we have that access. But it says twice that he listens to us and we know that he hears us. So he always is listening to us. He's always waiting for us to just stop and talk with him. That he will answer. And because of Jesus, we can actually go with confidence. Not in shame, not in guilt, not in embarrassment. That we can come to him and talk to him at any time of the day with anything that's on our mind. Because he desires that connection with us. I don't think there's anything that we can say that can stop God from loving us when we come to him. I mean, you just have to look at the Psalms. Sometimes they were expressed with passion and anger, and God didn't step in and shut their mouths. By the end of the psalm, the psalmist was always back into praising the Lord for the things that had occurred. I think sometimes we just need a little reminder that it's not about ceremony. It's about conversation. So ceremony, we follow all these certain rules. And so sometimes when we think we come to God, we come in a way that we have to have everything all in order. We have to be either perfect or we have to come. And sometimes by thinking like that, it means we've kind of put Jesus on the outside and think we have to earn our way just to talk with God. But we don't. Because of Jesus, we can talk with our Father in heaven. That this idea of ceremony, we don't have to come with this checklist that has to be followed in order for it to happen. Otherwise, the ceremony hasn't happened. It's a conversation. Just think, like, in the human conversation, it's both talking and listening. Sometimes I think we may get bored in prayer because we do all the talking. I mean, if you had a friend and you went up to the friend and only time you ever saw them, all you did was give them some type of praise and adoration and say, really like your hair, it's great, it's good to see you, thank you for the things you do, I'm sorry that I've done this, so you bring some type of confession, and then you go, I need you to do this, 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 and this, okay, see you later. Kind of monologue-like. It would be weird to do that with our friendships and relationships, but sometimes we do that with the Lord when he desires us to come and talk with him and listen to his response as we read the word, to be convicted and challenged in our heart to search him out, to seek him for answers, to pursue him, not in relation to salvation, but in relation to intimacy, friendship. Because prayer is about relationship, not about ritual. It's about relationship, not ritual. So again, it's about getting closer to the Lord. He knows everything about us. Psalm 139 was mentioned today. We're fearfully and wonderfully known. He knew everything about us before we were formed. He knows every hair on our head. I said it many times, I'll say it again later. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly about us. He knows everything about us at all times. But the point of prayer isn't that I should pray, or I must pray, or that I need to pray. Again, it's the fact that God loves for us to just take a moment and to talk with him. Does that make sense? It's simple. Sometimes in our busyness and our rigidness, we can just kind of rush on ahead and go, well, was I actually praying when I did that? Or was I actually, you know, intimately with the Lord when I did that? I mean, there are different ways. If you need to come and be on your face all the time, I won't deter you from doing that. But that's hard to do when you're driving. It's hard to do when you're surrounded by people, and yet you can still inwardly just have a moment where you're like, Lord, I thank you. I need you. And listen for a moment. I mean, just think for a moment. We get to talk to the creator of the universe, the one who knows all things, who created all things seen and unseen. And we get to come to him and talk with him, and he wants us to talk with him. And not only does he want us to talk with him, he desires to speak with us. I mean, it's an amazing thing, just something that even whether you've been a Christian your whole life, that sometimes just taking a moment to go, this is the one who created all things, and yet he wants to intimately have a conversation with me, because God loves for us to talk with him. Secondly, he listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. We don't have to use weird, flowery language, some weird type of fancy phrases. We don't need to sound spiritual or use religious cliches when we come to him. We can just talk. Sometimes we make it more complicated. And so I'm going to read something, but we don't need to stand up and address God like this. O thou great potentate of the universe, thou who hast dost wonderfully bestow on us all manners of beseeched blessings. We don't need to come to the Lord like that. We don't need to sound like Shakespeare. We don't need to sound like Billy Graham. We don't need to sound like Bill Johnson. We don't need to sound like Louisa or Susan or Rick. We can come to the Lord as he created us, individually and uniquely come to him with our own language or our own understanding. And again, I remember at Bible college, there was just a time of prayer one day. And there was one of the other college students, just a regular kind of guy, very Very simple, not simple-minded, just simple. And very interesting to be around, to just hear him talk. And I remember he led out in prayer one day. And I don't even know how to describe what I felt or sensed. It's just like, it was like an intimate connection with the Lord, and he barely said anything. It was not very grandiose or trumped up or anything. It was just him coming before the Lord in front of other people and leading us to where he was in intimacy with the Lord. But I don't need to be like him in order to come to the Lord. So he desires sincere and simple, because he desires us to talk with him. And if we get caught up thinking we have to pray like somebody else, then often we don't, because we think, well, we're not like them, so we can't bring anything of importance. And that's not true. We can come with simple, sincere, humble, and authentic prayers. The Lord is always listening. Matthew 6, 5-8 says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Again, there are many things that we could pull out of there, but one of them is that prayer was performance to them. It was ritual. It was ceremony. It was to be seen. But for us, we don't need to impress anybody. We don't need to impress the Lord. We can just come. We don't need to be afraid or embarrassed or concerned, because he's a loving Father who desires to listen and desires to speak. Again, it's just simple. That in the busyness of life, we can sometimes forget that we can come to him with confidence. And that, as it says in Hebrews 10:22, it says, "Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him." Because of Jesus, we can do that anywhere, anytime, any moment. We can go fully into the presence of the Lord with confidence, with sincere hearts. Let's think about that for a moment before I move on. I think it's an exciting thing. I have a smile on my face. I am excited. Thirdly, God, he likes to show his grace by answering prayer. He's good. He's a compassionate, loving, gracious, and generous Father. He loves us. He's concerned about the things that we're concerned about. He loves to answer prayer because he gets to show us a glimpse of who he is in his answered prayers. Again, prayer is multifaceted. I can't cover everything related to prayer over the next 40 days. Even as I'm bringing things, there are other things that come up. I know there would be questions that go, well, what if your prayer is not answered? And all, but this morning, that's not what we're looking at. This is just a reminder that the Lord desires for us to talk with him, that he longs for that, that we can come in simplicity with sincere and humble hearts, and that he likes to show us his grace through answered prayer. And over 20 times in the New Testament, we're commanded to ask. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. There's other places where it says you have not because you ask not. And others that say, if you ask anything in my name, the list kind of goes on and on. Because God gets to show you how good he is. How generous and loving and perfect he is. He gets to show that he listens to us intently. And sometimes things are not seen. I mean, we sing about it, we can read it in Scripture. Even when we don't see it, he's still working. I know that that song is not Scripture, but Scripture points that out. He's always behind the scenes. He's always doing something. He's always moving and always working. And he often has the bigger picture in mind. Jeremiah 33:3. In the Message, it says, "Call to me and I will answer you. I will show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own." I don't know about you, but I need reminders of that. God sees the beginning and the end. He sees everything in between, but often we can only see the now. And he increases our faith, and we're challenged, and we grow, and we step out in faith, and things change. But sometimes we need a reminder where it says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own." He is about the bigger perspective, the bigger picture. Again, I don't know about you, but I do need to be reminded of this. I've said it before, said it to some of you, more of a realist. I was a pessimist. Now I'm more of a realist. But the Lord, through others and himself, constantly encourages me to take risks and to step out and to trust him even when things don't make sense. I mean, 21 days of prayer. 21 days of consecutive corporate prayer where I plan to go to everything. I've never done that in my life. It scares me. It may sound weird, but for me, that's a big risk. Going, what if it's just me? And the Lord going, what if it is just you? And I don't say that to bring any guilt. That's just a conversation that I had. I go, and the Lord saying, what if it is just you? Then it's just you. It's you and me. And again, please, that was not thrust on you to go, well, I better go, otherwise it's just Pastor Sean by himself. Because the thing is, it's not about guilt. This is about something where the Lord is stirring in each of us to be able to commit to what we can, because not everybody can commit to 21 days. The schedule is set up. If you're working, you can't. But maybe there's some. Maybe if it's Sunday morning only at 8:50 to 9:50 in the prayer room and you can commit to that, then so be it. Anyway, I'm off on a rabbit trail. Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified, it says, "Now to him who by the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think." So let me say that again. To him who by the power abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, which is infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams, call to me and I will answer you. I will show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. We need a reminder. Matthew 7:11, if you, as in mankind, being imperfect and sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Because God is our perfect Father. He gives good things. He wants to show us things that we haven't even imagined yet. And again, it's not about comparison. Because what might be beyond my thoughts may be very different from what's beyond what you can even think of or imagine. And I won't go there. God is good. He's gracious and loving and merciful and desires to be intimate with us. So the fourth point, I think it's key, is that God longs to be close to you. He desires it. He longs for it. He wants it deeply to be close. for him to be close to us and us to be close to him. It's something I pray over my children every night as I put them to bed. That the Lord would know them, but that they would know him. And they probably don't fully understand what that means. It'll take a process. I'm still learning what that fully means. And it'll be on a journey until we get to meet him face to face. He's waiting for you to talk with him. He's waiting to speak with you. He's never offline. He's never too busy to hear your request. He's never too busy just for you to come at any moment of any day, at any time, wherever you are, whether it's here at work, on your lunch break, even in the shower, in the washroom, as you drive, as you pump gas, wherever it is, at any moment, at any day, you can come and have a conversation with him, and he can speak to you. He desires that. Isaiah 30:18 says, "And therefore the Lord earnestly waits to be gracious to you. Therefore he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show you loving kindness." You were made for a relationship with him. You were made to know him. Again, it says, "And therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you." You were made to be in relationship with him. And again, I know we say that, and I know that some of us understand that, but I think all of us kind of struggle to go, well, what does that really look like? Where we can come and take time to say, "I love you. I need you. I adore you. I worship you. Here's what's on my heart. Here's what I don't understand, Lord. I can't see what you need me to do. I don't see the big picture. I don't understand. I need you." We wait for an answer. We can come, even this morning as I was praying in my office and just kind of going, "Lord, help me to be like Mary and not Martha. Help me to be like Mary, where I come with that one thing, that focus on you, that I can lay down all the distractions around me and sit at your feet and learn from you." Lord, help me. Don't let me get caught up in busyness. Just simple things. You know, he didn't smack me from behind and go, "What's wrong with you, son?" Sometimes we may do that to our own children. The Lord is sometimes more gracious than we ever are. He designed us for intimacy that goes beyond Sunday morning. That goes beyond just coming to church week after week. And he made you to love you. And the Bible is full of examples of those who were in more of an intimate friendship with the Lord. King Hezekiah, Job, Enoch, Moses, Noah. You have the disciples. You have the apostle Paul. They're not super people. They're people who were intimately walking with the Lord. And God longs for you to be close with him. Hosea 6:6 says, "I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings." I want you to know me. God knows everything about you and me. As I said, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It didn't deter him from loving you. Because no one will ever love you like God loves you. Individually, uniquely. He has a calling on your life that's not my calling, that's not the next person's calling. He's individually called you. He knows you. He desires to be in more of an intimate friendship with you. And Jesus says in John 15, "I don't call you servants, I call you my friends." Because it's not about rituals and regulations, and it's not about rules. It's about that relationship, about that friendship with him. So this isn't a salvation-oriented message. It's not what I'm talking about this morning. This is about intimacy, friendship, a closer communion with him. We desire that. I'll say that again. If we desire that and we make time for it, it's cultivated. If we feel far from God, it's usually not God who moved from us. It's us who've taken a step. And he says, no, come back. Even if it's been a while, come back. And again, I'm not talking about a sin separation. I mean, sometimes just in the busyness of things, where even I have to say, Lord, help me to be like Mary and not Martha. The Lord's saying, I haven't moved. I'm still here. Come spend time at my feet. Psalm 25:14. The message says it this way. God friendship is for God worshipers. They're the ones he confides in. The Living Bible says it this way. Friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence him. With them alone he shares the secrets of his promises. Not everyone can be in that place. But he desires for everyone to be in that place. He shares secrets with us as we spend time with him. Secrets that he may share with me that are personal, that are deep, that help me to be transformed into his image. He loves for us to walk with him when our prayers are simple and sincere. He gets to show us his grace and his mercy when he answers those, but in all of it, he desires for us to draw closer to him. We all need a little renewal in our hearts. We all need a fresh sense of joy and a fresh sense of God's presence and a fresh sense of what he wants to do in our own lives and the lives of the church and the body at large. And I really believe that only comes in prayer. It comes in prayer. Because we hear more clearly. We connect more deeply to the Lord. Tomorrow we do start the 21 days of consecutive prayer. Starts at 6:30 tomorrow night. It's an hour each day. The schedule's in the bulletin. It's on the bulletin board. It'll be on the website. I encourage you, if you're able to come, there's scriptures that we'll read out loud. And we'll spend some time reflecting on them. And there's an aspect of just corporate time. And before we start that, there'll be a little bit of time of music, worship. I don't have a live team. Nobody's playing the guitar. But just a time to come and quiet yourself before the Lord and then engage in prayer corporately. And if there's time, we'll pray in small groups. It's an hour each time, starting tomorrow, right up until the 15th of March. And right up until the 29th of March, we'll be looking at prayer, not just for the sake of looking at it, but for the sake of deepening our friendship with the Lord. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and the work that you're continuing to work and the things that you're drawing out and the change that is happening in our lives. Father, I pray that as we go about our day, as we go and eat lunch together, that, Lord, that you would just remind us that you are with us, that you desire to talk with us and for us to talk with you. Lord, let our hearts be sincere, that we can come confidently into your presence, that we can come with you with trusting and full hearts. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes.